Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are in the middle of the Agadah, the extended Agadic discussion about Midah Keneged Midah, discussing the issue of Miriam and the Nevuah about Miriam. Beginning at the very bottom of Daf Yud Aleph on Bet Masachet Sota, the Pasuk near the beginning of Divrei Hamim, Chalev ben Chetzron, Holid et azuva isha ve'et yiriot ve'ele baneha yashar v'shava v'yadron. It's a very enigmatic pasuk. First of all, Kalev is the husband here who, as we saw in the previous section, married Miriam, who's called Ephrat. He's called Kalev ben Chetzron. Ben Chetzron, ben Yifunehu. After all, Rekum Bamidbar received Kalev's father's Yifuneh. So the answer is ben shepana me'atzat meraglim. Really, he's ben Chetzron. And he's called Ben Yifuneh, sort of figuratively, he's the son who turned away from the council of the rest of his colleagues who were the spies. Avakati Ben Kenazu, but we got another name for him, which is Kalev Ben Kenaz, sort of, Dichtiv, Valikudah Udniel Ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev. In the beginning of Shoftim, and also the parallel passage in the middle of Sefer Yoshua, Udniel conquered Kiryat Sefer, and Udniel is called the brother of Kalev, and he is the son of Kenaz, which makes Kalev also the son of Kenaz, we think. Amrava Chorgo de Kenaz Have. The answer is that Kalev was the stepson of Kenaz. De Kenamid Ichtiv Haknizi. That Kalev is called Kalev ben Yifuneh Haknizi. In other words, his father's name was Yifuneh. His father died, or divorced, or something, and the mother then married Kenaz. Kenaz then, and his mother gave birth to Otniel, so he's his half-brother. Maternal brother, and he's adopted by Kenaz, Shmamina. Good. Azuva, Zumiriam. So who's Azuva in the Pasuk that Kalev married Azuva, the abandoned one, Zumiriam. Shma Azuva, why is she called Azuva? Shakol Azvuha Mitchilata. That they all abandoned her from her beginning. The sense is that she really was, not very attractive, not very, comely at the beginning, and she was sickly. And therefore they abandoned her. Holid, now it says Kalev Holid, Valamin Savhave Nosivla. Why does it say that? After all, we see that he married her. Why does it say Holid? That he gave birth to Azuva. Lehefech, he married her. She wasn't his daughter, she was his wife. If a man marries a woman for truly altruistic reasons, then it's as if he brought her into the world. Okay, Yiriot, what's Yiriot? Shayu panah domin liriot. Her face was blanched white like curtains. Ve'ela baneha, who are her kids? Altuge baneha ela boneha. So don't read baneha, but rather those who built her, meaning these are all names for her husband, names for Kalev. Yashar, why? She shared that's why he straightened himself. Shavav, sheshivevit Yitzro, he pushed down his Yetzirah. Vyadron, sheradat Yitzro, he subjugated his Yetzir. V'gavami al-shiyu paneha domin leverit, or perhaps because ultimately her face went from being blanched and white to rosy. Dvarimim, that continues on with further drasha that's related to some of the names. Ashkur avit koa yushte nashim chalav na'ara. Who's Ashkur? Is a Kalev. Again, we're saying this is a late midrash, a early midrash that is, but a late in Tanakh statement about Kalev. Why is Kalev called Ashkur? Shushkuru panav betaniot. His face went black through all the fasting he did, to avoid the counsel of the other meraglim. Avi, that he was, Avit Koa, Shenasala Ka'av. He became like a father to her. And to Koa, Shetakat Libol Aviv Shemashmaim. He stuck his heart steadfast to God. Hayushte Nashim. He had two wives. What's that? Nasem Miriam Kishte Nashim. And Miriam became like two women. Chalav Na'ara. What's that? Lo Chalav Na'ara Habe. That's not her name. Elo Etchila Chala'a Lo Asof Na'ara. First she was very sickly, then she became like a resplendent, like a youth who was full of life. Okay, Vnei Chelat, Sarat Vetsohar Vetnan. This again is a listing the genealogy of Shevet Yehuda in Divrei Hayamim, but we're darshaning it as being about Miriam. Tsarat, why should I say Tsara l'chaverotah? She became sort of the source of jealousy for her friends. She was so attractive. Tsohar, Sheyu Panel Domin Tsoraim, her face was bright like the midday. At Nan, Shekola Roed Otam Olich at Nan Lishto. Anybody who would see her would be so excited that he would come to his wife and be willing to pay her to have relations with him. In other words, anybody who would see Miriam would become very excited. Now we go back to Shmot Aleph and to the decree of servitude. And Paro made the command, this is the end of Perek Aleph, subsequent to the commands of the midwives that were defeated, he commanded his entire nation. He didn't just tell his nation what to do, the decree was about them also, that they also had to throw their kids in the water. There are three decrees. The first one was to the midwives. If it's a son, kill him. And the second one was any Jewish child gets thrown into the water. At the end, he even decreed on his own people, because he was afraid that the ultimate savior of the Jewish people would come from them. This is all in the Midrashic tradition. Now, the beginning of Perek Bet, Vayelech Ish from Beit Levi, a man from the house of Levi went. This, of course, leads to the birth of Moshe. Lehechan halach. What do you mean he went? Where did he go? He went following the counsel of his daughter being Miriam. Tana Amram Gadol Ador Haya. This is a famous midrash. Amram was the great rabbi of the generation. Kevan Sheparog Shera'a Sheparo Gazar Paro Ashal Kolene Loda Tashlichu. Once he saw there was the terrible decree to throw all the kids in the river, Amar Lashavan Omelin, we're having children for nothing, they're going to be killed. Amar Vigireshet Ishto, he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulam Vigireshet Nashotan. So all the men followed him and divorced their wives because the great rabbi did. Amralo Bito. So his daughter said to him, Abba, Kashag Zeratcha, Yotem Yishal Paro, your decree is worse than Paro's. Sheparo lo gazar la tzcharim. Paro made a decree against the boys. You, by having everyone divorce their wives, means no boys or girls will be born. Paro's decree was to kill people in this world. You're preventing children from being born, which prevents them coming to Olam Haba. Paro, he makes a decree, and maybe it'll be fulfilled, maybe it won't be. As a matter of fact, his own daughter ends up violating it. But you're a tzaddik, you make a decree, it'll be for sure fulfilled. This, although it's directed to God, is understood midrashically as a statement about tzaddikim. You make a decree, and God makes sure it's fulfilled. So what did Amram do? Amad vechzirat ishto. He brought his wife back. Amdu kulan vechzirot ashotan. It was a mass reunification of couples. Now, why does it say vayikachet bat Levi? Why does the text say that he married vayachzor mibayile? It should be that he brought her back. Why does it mean he married her? He made as if a first wedding. He put her in a fancy sedan. And her son and daughter, their son and daughter, were dancing in front of her. That the mother of the children is rejoicing. In other words, they made a very festive wedding. It was a new wedding. Now, she's called it Bat Levi. Now, remember that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when Bnei Israel left. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be born now, which means that that Moshe is born after 130 years that they've been in Egypt, according to the tradition that they were there for 210. Now, could she possibly be have been born on the way down to Egypt? If so, then she's 130 at this point. V'kari Labat? Solving the problem in Breishit Memvav of the confusion between the count of 69 people and the record of being 70, who's the missing one is Yocheved. That she was conceived on the way down to Egypt, was born in Egypt. She was born in Mitzrayim, and we're reading it Lelevi as being the person, not the tribe. So pshat is that she was born to the tribe of Levi. She's a bat Levi, meaning she's a descendant of Levi. The reason she's called a bat Levi, even though she's, according to this, 130 years old, is that because she suddenly had signs of a young girl, her body revived itself. So she became pregnant and had a son. Our understanding is that she was already pregnant 3 months when he took her back. It's comparing her pregnancy with her birth. Just like the pregnancy did not cause pain, so the birth did not cause pain. This supports the Midrashic contention that righteous women were not included in the decree of Chava that childbirth will be painful. Vatero toki tovu, she gave birth to a son and saw that he was good. Tanya Meomer Tov Shmo. So some people say his name was Tov. His name certainly was not Moshe, because Moshe is an Egyptian name. It was given to him only when he was brought to Bat Paro when he was 4, 5, 6 years old. Read the text. Rav Yehuda Omer Tuvia Shmo, not Tov, but Tuvia. Rechemi Omer Hagula Neviut. Tov was not his name, but rather she saw he was good, meaning he was fit for prophecy. Some say that he was born circumcised. Or that the entire house was filled with light when he was born. That's what it means. She saw he was good. God saw that the light was good. So the Tov, there is a way of saying light. She hid him for 3 months after he was born. Why? Because the Mitzrim counted 9 months from when Amram married her. And so we have this tradition that she was already pregnant for 3 months earlier, and then Amram had divorced her, then he married her back, and the Egyptians only counted from the remarriage. She couldn't hide him any longer. Am I? Let her keep hiding him. So the simple pshat, of course, is once a child gets a little older, it becomes noisier, and the neighbors know about it. Anytime the Egyptians heard that a child was born, they bring an Egyptian kid there. They would hear the child, and they would start crying, and they'd evoke the child to cry. They'd cry with each other like animals. These little foxes have come, and they are destroying the vineyard. So the mother took basket of reeds. Myshna gome, why reeds? The tzaddikim are very careful about how they use the money, and they want to use something inexpensive. Why? They're so careful to not take anybody else's property that even their money is kadosh because it is pure. He said, no, there's a different reason. He wants something soft. They could withstand something soft and also something hard. If it butts up against something hard, it's flexible enough that it won't break. She pitched it with pitch and with tar. The tar was on the outside. So this little tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, would not have this terrible smell. So she put the kid in the basket, and she put the basket in the reeds. What's suf is yamsuf. Agam in a lagoon. Lagoon was made up of suf and of reeds, which is what suf means. And we continue now with the discussion of the second chapter of Shemot. Vatered bat paro lichotz al yor. It says that bat paro went down to bathe in the yor, in the Nile. Yocham mishum b'shum ben Yochai melamed sheyarda lichotz migilulei aviha. She went down to bathe as if to go to the mikvah from the idolatry of her father's house. Chen omer im rachatz Adonai tzoat b'not Zion. If Hashem has bathed away the filth of b'not Zion, referring to the filth of idolatry. He said her girls were walking with her. This walking is a reference to going to one's death. When Esav came to Yaakov and said, I want the food, he says, I'm walking to my death. What do I need the Bechorah for? Give me some food. We'll see in a little bit why we consider that the girls were going on their way to their death. She saw the basket in the reeds. Here we'll see it immediately. The girls saw that Bat Paro wanted to save Moshe. Amrula Gvirtenu. Our mistress, think about how the world works. Melech basav adam gozer gzerah. A king makes a decree. In kol ha'olam kulam mekayemim ota, if the whole world doesn't keep it, banam nevei ato mekayemim ota, certainly his family keeps it. V'ato v'erat al gzerat avich, you're going to violate your father's decree? So ba gavriel v'chavtan b'karka. Gavriel came and smacked them down into the ground, so that means that's why they were on their way to die. Now, v'tishlachat ha'matav etikacheha, she sent her maidservant to go get the basket. Hudavim nechemir, chadamar yada. So one of them says, amata means her hand, her ama. Then her hand became very long. The other one says, no, it refers to her maid servant, ama. Ma damar yada, why dichtiv amata? Because it says amata instead of shifchata. And ama is also a hand. Ma damar shifchata, midaloktiv yada. Because if it really meant hand, it would have sent hand. Right? Well, the man damar shifchata, according to the opinion that says it was her shifcha, ha'amra, amar ba Gavriel b'chavtan makarka, you just said that Gavriel smacked him in the ground, and so how does she have a shifcha to send? The answer is the shir lachada. He didn't kill all of them, he left one of them there. It's inappropriate for a princess to be standing alone without a without an escort. Well, the mandamar yada, according to the opinion that says it was her hand, lichtov yada, why doesn't say yada? Hakavashvan dishtarbe ishtarbuve teaches you that her hand became suddenly extremely lengthened. The amarmar v'chenatamotsebi amatash about paro, v'chenatamotsebi shinei rishayim. You find similar things happening to the teeth of the wicked, this famous midrash, and to the arm of Bat Paro. Dichtiv shinei rishayim shibarta, you broke the teeth of the rishayim. Amrishlakish altikrei shibarta ela shribavta, you have lengthened them. The story about Og Melech HaBashan holding this big rock up and a gnat coming and him biting back and forth with his teeth. Vatiftach v'tiret ha'yelad. So Bat Paro opened up the basket and saw a yelad. Vatera mibayale. It should say Vatera et ha'yelad. She saw the child. Why did it say she saw him, the child? She saw Hashem's presence there. V'nei na'ar bochen. It was a young man crying. Karele yelad v'karele na'ar. So the text calls him in one sentence, a boy and a young man. Tanahu yelad v'kolo kanar. He himself was a young boy, but his voice was like an older boy. Rabbi Yehuda, Amalav Nechemim, cannot sit on the Moshe Rabbeinu Balmu. If so, then Moshe Rabbeinu is imperfect because he has an inappropriate voice for his age. Elaman, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Levi also. Elamalame chastalo imo chupat ne'urim b'teva. She made a little chuppah for him. Amra shemalo is kel chupato. Maybe I won't be at his wedding, so at least this way I'll enjoy it. By the way, she wasn't at his wedding, which took place in Midian. And she had compassion, said this must be a Hebrew child. Minayada, how'd she know it was a Hebrew child? She saw that he was circumcised. Now she said, Zeh, this is an Ivri. She had prophecy without knowing it. Zeh nofel vein acher nofel. This is the last Hebrew child that's going to go in the water. This is a Hebrew child. This and no other. From Elazar, my dichtiv, chiyamru alechem, dershu al avod val yidonim amtzavtzafim v'hamagim. If they say, go seek out the necromancers that make all these noises, what does that mean? Why they're called mitzavtzafim? Sofin ve'nam yodim matzofim. They actually see stuff, but they don't understand it. Magim ve'nam yodim amagim. They say stuff, but they don't understand what it means. What happened is, and this doubles back to the original decree, they saw that the Savior of the Jews is going to suffer with water. So they made a decree that to throw the children into the water, figuring that's it. Kevin Shadual Moshe, once they threw Moshe in, Amru Tolochazin Kiao Simana, they told Paro, we don't see that Siman anymore in Shemayim. And by the way, this is very different than the earlier take in the Midrash that said they wanted to judge and to punish the Jews or to hurt the Jews, and they figured they'd find some way that God has promised he'd back off of, and we saw it's not fire, it's not the sword, so it's the water. Here it was based on some astrology, and they said that sign is no longer there. So they canceled the decree. They didn't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to suffer with water, but not water of drowning, but the waters of Meriva that would cause him not to enter the land. That's why it says at the end of the parsha of Meriva, these are the Meriva that they challenged God. These are the same waters that Paro's astrologers saw, but they misunderstood. That's why Moshe says, when Moshe says to Hashem, how can I feed 600,000 of the infantry? All of you were saved because of me, because they didn't understand the decree, and so therefore I was saved, and that all led. It's ragli, it's my feet, as it were. So there's three different opinions about when Moshe was thrown into the water and saved. Whether it was the 21st of Nisan, which traditionally is the day of Kriyat Yam Suf. The person who's going to sing at the sea on this day, should suffer in the water on this day. It was the 6th of Sivan. The one who's going to get the Torah at Har Sinai on this day, you'll keb yom zeh? So, based on the man of Shisha Sivan, I understand the opinion says it was the 6th of Sivan. Mishkach la gimel yarchi. Now I got 3 months from when he was born. Hamar Shiva ba Adar mate, Shiva Adar nolad Moshe. That Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar. It's exactly 3 months from the 7th of Adar to the 6th of Sivan. But if you say he was put in the water on the 21st of Nisan, how does that work from the 7th of Adar and being 3 months hidden? So the first thing is that was a Shana Muberet, so there was an extra Adar. Rubot Shal Rishon, so you have most of Adar Aleph, and most of Nisan, Rosh Shal Acharon, and Sa'i Shalem, and second Adar. So that's 3 months. Not three full months, not 90 days, but 3 month segments. So Miriam then approached Bat Paro when she's holding this kid and says, shall I go call you a Hebrew nursemaid? Simple pshat, and why a Hebrew nursemaid? Because everybody knows that the Hebrew women are lactating because they've had children who've been killed. Why from the Hebrew women? It shows that they brought Moshe to all of the Egyptian women and he refused to nurse. I'm going to be speaking with the Shechina. Should I nurse from a Davar Tamei? Who will Hashem teach to? Those who separate themselves from the milk and from the teat. So Bat Paro said, go take him. Go and find one. She's called a young woman. She ran quickly like a young woman. Why is she called an alma? It's a play on words. She hid her words, meaning she didn't say that she herself was a sister. So she brought the mother. Bat Paro, of course, did not know that was the mother. And she said, here, take this child. She's having prophecy and she didn't know understand what it was. Helichi means ha shalechi. This is your child. Vani atenet tzcharech, and I will pay you. So watch how strange this is. And it's not enough for tzaddikim that we return, that they get their stuff back that was lost. They lose something, it's returned to them and they're paid for it. In other words, here, Moshe is brought back to his own mother and is paid by the royal treasury to nurse him. So now going to the verse after Shirat Hayam, it says that Miriam HaNeviah, who was the sister of Aharon, took the timbrels and led the women out to sing. Why is she Achot Aharon v'lo Achot Moshe? Why is she called that? Means because her main prophecy that she was known for happened when she was only the sister of Aharon. She said, my mother will eventually give birth to the child who's going to save Am Yisrael. Once Moshe was born, or it's fitting in with that midrashic opinion, that when he was born, the whole house filled with light. Her father stood up and kissed her on her head. Your prophecy has come true. Once they threw him into the water, meaning they put him in the basket, in the water, in the reeds, her father slapped her on the face, on the head. Where's your great prophecy now? That the sister stood by to see what would happen to him. What does that mean? In other words, she stood by to see what's going to happen to her prophecy. That was her vested interest. She had had a prophecy, and now it was up for grabs, and she wanted to see what would happen at the end. So that was her investment here, and that's why she stood. So, in the next podcast, we will complete our study of the first parak, which will take us to Daf Yudal and Amud Aleph as we continue in the Agadic exposition of the issue of Midah Keneged Midah, specifically with the issue of Yosef bearing his father, Moshe bearing Yosef, and Ribono Shel Olam bearing Moshe. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.